Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube, however you're catching us. It's Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And as always, here's my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer and now poetry writer, Nicole Sachs.
Good evening. It's gothic poetry, so it's still the same. It's like Poe himself who wrote horror and gothic poetry.
Oh, so your poetry is scary?
It's eerie.
It's eerie. Well, yeah, Keep talking.
I was going to say it's not your typical boring poetry. I mean, there was some love stuff in there, but like it's gotten good reviews so far. And I'm selling to the same people that buy my stuff because we like spooky things, like spooky goth stuff. That's what we like.
That's great. You know, I think this is a record because I think we've been on for a minute and I have to say, I hate fucking Zoom. Zoom sucks. I hate the delay. But who we have here tonight? We have somebody straight from Vermont, straight from a basement in Vermont where she's got her vodka. She is the founder of the House of LeMay drag troupe. She's been in, she actually had a documentary made about her, which was something in syrup.
Greenbacks and syrup.
Streambacks and syrup and
slingbacks. Slingbacks and syrup.
Slingbacks and syrup. I have got so much of her information in my head, it's overloading. And she has also the host of, she's been doing all sorts of community service in Vermont, all sorts of things. Since the pandemic, she started her show Amber Live and has interviewed such notable guests as people, you know, a lot of people from The Sopranos, a lot of people from drag troupes, a lot of celebrities, even Carol Baskin,
an exclusive Carol interview.
Carol freaking Baskin, and here she is, Amber LeMay.
Well, thank you. I do want to correct you. You said straight from my basement. I'm not actually straight from my basement. I'm in my basement, but not necessarily straight. So
I stand corrected. What's the proper terminology?
You look like you're sitting, but that, if you say stand, I can't argue with that.
Okay. Are you sitting?
No, I'm standing.
Are you standing? Okay, so standing in her basement in Vermont, sipping some vodka. I got that right.
Oh yes, gotta have my vodka.
It's Amber LeMay, and this is gonna be a great show. But before we get started, see, I have to match your energy. So this is what I'm gonna do. I am gonna have some of this. This is Ray's energy drink, and it's appearing and disappearing. There you go. Ray's energy drink. This is the best energy drink you can buy. You were just at 7-Eleven, Nicole, where you picked up some wine coolers for the show. And so you guys are going to be all sorts of energy. I've got this. You can't get this at 7-Eleven. You can't get this at the supermarkets. You can order it online, or they have the gyms, GNCs. It's Ray's energy drink. I got my case. And when I see you, Nicole, I will give you one of these because I don't think you've tried this. This is Baja Lime flavor, just like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, except better, because it has all sorts of electrolytes, all sorts of stuff to jack you up, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. If you're listening to us on a podcast catcher or on YouTube, go to the link in the show. There is a link where you can get 15% off a case of any flavor you want. Let me get a sip of that. Delicious. I love Ray's energy drinks.
Now, is that available everywhere in the country or just...
No, they will ship it anywhere in the country. They probably have it at GNCs or gyms. Just go ahead and go use our code and they'll ship it right to you in a nice, colorful box.
Well, I'm looking for that. I will.
15% off Ray's energy drinks. It's the best. They have... a flavor. It's like a fruit punch flavor. That's great. They have sour gummy worms. They just came out with, they've come out with so many flavors. The Apollos taste like Fruit Loops. They're just sweet and just delicious, but zero calories, zero carbs, and zero.
Well, Mark, already we've come out with something that we have in common. We're both whores. You know, we'll both do something for money. So very good.
Well, geez, you've talked to me for 2 minutes. You pegged me already. I am a whore. Yes. There we go. Here's another. I'm not going to be whoring this, but Nicole, tell everybody the name of your book, describe it and how people get can order that.
It's called Slow Burn. You can go to lulu.com and look up Nicole Six, and it's the only thing I have on Lulu. My publisher closed down during COVID, so I put this one out on Lulu. Lulu is a really good independent press for people that need to self-publish or want to be published by a publisher and have distribution handled by someone else. Please order it from Lulu though, because I get the best rate from them. If I have it on Amazon, then I lose money. So I'm taking my time putting it on Amazon. There has been a request for it because a lot of my readers don't live in the US, but Lulu ships around the world. So you might be able, one of the countries Lulu ships to. So just go to lulu.com and look up Nicole Six.
And I've heard great things. So this is a new book from Nicole Six. Check it out. I'm not being a whore in this case because I get no money from this. Nicole gets all the money. So I'm whoring myself for Nicole.
That now, means I'm a pimp.
Yes. Now, Amber, are you really a whore?
Well, aren't we all? If you do anything for money, you're selling yourself. And isn't that the definition of a whore? You know, you do something for money.
But I mean, are you doing it for money? Because I know you, I mean, you've been in the drag game for a long time, and your interview, you first off, you call yourself, or you have described yourself as the Larry King of the drag Larry King, which you're so much prettier than Larry King. I don't understand how that
goes. No, I don't get paid for what I've been doing with Amber Live for the past 2 years. We started on March 22nd doing a show. On March 22nd, it was like just a week after the pandemic started when everything closed down. I decided I got to do something, you know? And so I talked to my friend Russell and I said, okay, people get on Facebook and do these Facebook Live things. How do you do that? And so I just started doing this thing. I call it Ask a Drag Queen or something like that. And I sat in my living room with my laptop on my lap, and I just sit there and talk for an hour. And this went on for like a couple of weeks. And finally, my friend Russell said, we can do better than that. And so he said, okay, how about if you get a better set, you don't put the laptop on your lap, you stabilize it, and you put a nice set behind you. And we start talking, and he started getting me guests, and it's just gone on from there. And we just celebrated our 100th episode last week.
And right. I watched the 100th episode.
It was really, I'm Amber LeMay, and so we say LeMazing as opposed to amazing, but it was really friggin' pretty cool that, just 2 years, we did 100 episodes.
Great. Actually, coincidentally, you are our guest on our 200th episode since we came back in 2018. Oh. We celebrated our 9-year anniversary last year, but there were a couple of years we didn't do it. It's a long story, but we're not here to talk about this show. We're here to talk about you. Now, yeah. I've never been to Vermont. Have you ever been to Vermont, Nicole?
I have not. Oh, excuse me. I have not. I wanted to go there.
It sounds great.
It's a very interesting place. It's got a lot of cool stuff.
It is a very, very, well, I live in Burlington right now. And so some people say Burlington is so great because it's so close to Vermont, because Burlington is not Vermont in general. Burlington is very unique. It's sort of like Algonquin. It's sort of like Portland, Oregon. You know, it's a college town. But it has just a great vibe. And I don't know if it's because of the lake. We're right on the shores of Lake Champlain. In the morning, we watch the sunrise from over the Green Mountains in Vermont. And then we watch the sunset over the Adirondacks of New York. And it's just beautiful. It's very calming. I'm not sure if it's the water, if it's the mountains, but there's something very unique about the atmosphere here. And I've experienced that a few other places. Yellow Springs, Ohio is another place where I felt that, where you just drive into a place, you just go, this place is different. New Orleans, the first time I was in New Orleans, just go, this place is different. And, I'm sure there's other places in the world, but those are the three that I've experienced.
that's Mark becoming increasingly rare.
Sorry, Mark.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that Mark lived in New Orleans for quite some time.
I did, because like I said, there's no place like it. And that's becoming increasingly rare because everything's becoming so homogenized and increasingly so that it's tough to find, you know, something that's unique. And Vermont, I've never been there. I guess, apple syrup, there's a lot of nature and, you know, Bernie Sanders. That's about all I know.
But there's natural beauty. There's just a New England independent spirit, you know, and a bunch of the spirits going, well, you do what you do, I do what I do. As long as you don't mess with me, I'm okay with it. Yeah, there's a lot of that as well. So
that's great.
I've lived here and have done drag in Burlington, Vermont for almost 30 years. And it's a relatively small town. It's only like 43,000 people. But I can walk down the street and with no problem, I can go into any bar in town. And chances are before I get to the bar, my drink is there. It is just so cool. And there was one time we were walking down the streets and someone said, started yelling some slurs and everything. And like 10 or 12 people said, hey, shut up. Those are the LeMays. Don't you know who they are? And so that's very cool. Yeah.
So you're Vermont royalty, basically. That's a yes.
Yeah, I love being a big fish or semi-big fish in a semi-small town. I like that.
Right.
So what is your drink of choice?
Vodka soda.
Okay, I was thinking straight vodka.
Because, you know, if we meet you at a bar in Vermont, we want to know.
There's nothing straight about me now.
So you grew up in Ohio, though, right?
Yes, I did. I grew up in Lima, Ohio, which, you know, people say, where's that?
Lima?
Lima, yes. I say it's in that great gay triangle between Toledo, Dayton, and Fort Wayne. Yes, there's Lima. So that says a lot about where I grew up. Yeah.
Is that a gay triangle? I don't know. I don't know Ohio that much.
It's a joke.
I was going to say, I mean, there's gay people everywhere, but I didn't know.
I'm certain a gay triangle has a different name.
and Lima is also where the television show Glee took place, and that Lima is nothing like Lima. No, I really loved my time in Lima. I'm not talking disparagingly about Lima, but it's not like it was represented in Glee, that's for sure.
So you lived the real life Glee, and it was not like the TV show.
Correct.
You were a musical theater kid, I would imagine.
Oh yes. You know, it was just, you know, I think the first musical theater thing I saw was, I think Bye Bye Birdie. One of my brothers or his classmates were in that. I was like 8 or 9 years old. And I want to do that.
And you did.
Yes, I have. I've done quite a bit of it. Yes.
And, you know, Nicole, you know what's round in the end and high in the middle?
What is?
Ohio.
Oh.
Amber knows that one.
O-H.
I should have asked you. But interestingly enough, you came out to your parents late in life because of Oprah Winfrey.
Well, sort of. It was funny. You know, I was in my... God, I probably was in my 40s at the time. I'd moved away to Vermont. And I came back and, you know, my parents, we never talked about me being gay. And so I said, okay, this trip back home, I'm going to do it. Just get it out there. We can talk about it. And so every night at my parents' dinner table, there was a TV sitting there and the Oprah Winfrey show was always turned on. You know, to watch that was dinner entertainment to them.
Right.
And my dad usually had a constant conversation with Oprah. She didn't know it, but he had a constant conversation with her. So this night at dinner, that's when I was going to say, you know what? Let's talk about it. And just as I was going to start the conversation, Oprah comes on, and the topic of the show that day was adult children coming out to their parents.
Amazing.
There was no conversation at the dinner table. Every time I would open my mouth to go, they'd say, have some corn. Here, have a hamburger. And you know, they didn't want to talk. They knew they didn't want to talk about it. And right. I just said, fine. You know, that's and had I brought a partner or a friend home, they would have loved them and treated them very nice. They just wouldn't have talked about it.
Right. But you knew they knew.
Duh. Yeah. I was the youngest of four, and into theater. It was funny. One time I was at a cousin's wedding. I was in my mid-20s, perhaps, and I was going through the reception line. As I approached the parents of the couples, my aunt reached over to my cousin's mother-in-law and said, "He's in theater." Hello.
Yes. Your dad kind of sounds like my dad, except I don't think my dad would actually have watched Oprah Winfrey. He probably would have changed the channel to football. But
wanted a one-sided argument. You know, he wouldn't have wanted her to talk back to him, but he wanted to talk to her.
So basically, he was a political pundit in 2022 before his time.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Just a one-sided argument, but but coming out at, you know, late in life, I mean, I think it's for some people.
Now,
40s are not late in life. I know.
I came out early, while I was in my mid 20s. I just didn't come out to them.
Right. But I think as people age, they, it becomes less of a big deal, and they really accept you for who you are, and they really have seen you becoming an adult, and you know, there's no turning back now, basically. I often wonder, it's like, I'm not gay, but I always wonder if I was, and actually, if I was, it would explain a lot. I think my father would probably be relieved that I was gay rather than I was that incompetent with women, and that's why I've only had a couple come by the house, but yeah, so that's got to be uncomfortable. Thankfully, Oprah Winfrey is God and in control of the universe, and figured out how to broach that subject. Now, when did you start doing drag?
Well, this was maybe almost 30 years ago. And I was in a group called the Vermont Cabaret Players. And what we did was we sang songs, we did cabaret shows and entertainment, and raised money for Vermont Cares, which was the local AIDS organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was two or three gay guys and two or three straight women, a couple lesbians, you know? And then my friend Mike and I decided, you know, let's do our own thing too. So we became the Vermont Gay Boys, and we started doing a little cabaret show, but no one came to see us. They didn't care. And then there was this couple of local drag queens called Cherry Tart and Yolanda. And they started performing, and there really hadn't been that many drag queens in Vermont or Burlington at the time, except to Halloween, of course, for that.
Sure.
No drag performers, but they started performing. And Yolanda was great. She played guitar. She was part of the Radical Fairies. So she had a great presence to tell. Cherry Tart was this, God bless her. She would sing these torch songs, not very well, and tell these bad jokes badly, and had dresses that didn't close in the back, and people loved it. And so Mike and I were at the show, and we said, we can do that. And Mike was a theater major and could sew and made costumes. He goes, well, I can do costumes. I said, I can write material. And so then we started performing as Amber and Marguerite, the Sisters LeMay. And that was basically us and our accompanist, Craig Hilliard, who is still with us today. And I mean, he still plays for us, not only that he's still alive. And we just started performing, doing shows, and we just had so much fun. And people saw that fun and they said, hey, can we have fun with you? And we said, sure. And so we just started creating this troupe of people that we developed into the House of LeMay. And so we started doing shows that around our family or our house.
Which is, of course, the trailer park and the Hot Damn Trailer Park.
The Hot Damn Trailer Park in Beaver Pond, Vermont. We created this whole imaginary past or backstory of us that we grew up at the Hot Damn Trailer Park in Beaver Pond, Vermont. And we just had the stories, and our shows always involved of characters from Beaver Pond. We had Bucky Snatcher, who was the
say that again.
Bucky Snatcher.
Oh, Bucky Snatcher. Okay.
She was the animal control person. We had Cousin Craig. We just had a bunch of Hank, who was back, who worked at the Beaver Pond Pork Byproduct Processing Plant, and he would come on and tell us about what was going on with pork products that he would create. We had Liza Little. We had Pierre LeBlat, who worked down at the buck stop, everything for a buck. we just did silly things. We told silly skits. We sang songs. We used our own voices. I wrote parodies of songs, and most of the time we at least had our pianist Craig Hilliard, but then oftentimes we had our four piece band that would play, which was created with a bass player, drums, guitar. They also played a mandolin, harmonica, a rock band, the Decoys. They were all straight, but they loved backing us because they had so much fun. You know, they laughed, and we brought them into the skits, and we just had a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like a very Vermont-centric drag show.
Take a real place.
I'm sorry?
Was Beaver Lake a real place, or did you just make it up?
Beaver Pond. There are many places called Beaver Pond, but ours was totally imagined. Beaver Pond. There's Upper Beaver Pond. There's Beaver Creek. There's Beaver Gash. There's Upper Beaver Gash. We created a lot of different neighborhoods or different areas in the Greater Beaver Valley.
I'd like to visit Beaver Gash myself, but
I was going to say, sounds
like my place.
But you know, we don't like Beaver Creek. We always say we take a leak in Beaver Creek. You know, it's downstream from Beaver Pond, so we can do that.
Obviously, of course. But were you cross dressing before you started doing drag?
No. It's a character. It's a way to perform. And that's all we wanted to do. We just wanted to perform and entertain. You know, it wasn't saying, oh, I want to be this glamorous person. You know, no, we create our characters, and we're character driven. You know, we aren't female illusionists. You know, my friend Marguerite always, my sister Marguerite always said, we're female impaired. Which may not be too PC,
come out to LA. There's a lot of female illusionists out here.
But we don't do that. You know, we were theater people. So we just created characters. And I like to say that, I'm either your favorite aunt or drunk neighbor, or your favorite, your drunk aunt or your favorite neighbor, you know, one of those ladies that we all have in our childhood that went, oh, she's fun.
Oh yeah. Well, you definitely are fun. Drag is so mainstream now. I can imagine, what's the difference between 30 years ago in the 90s doing drag and doing it now?
Well, it depends on their attitude. You know, RuPaul, you know, good for her. She's made her money. But it's all about the illusion. And a form of entertainment that I'm really not into.
Really? You're not into the RuPaul and pose and all that?
I find it entertaining when they're doing more than just lip syncing, you know. Someone used to say a lipstick is not a talent, it's an infliction. I didn't say that. I'm just saying someone did. the acrobatics, it's good, but it's just not my form of entertainment. Yeah, it's
right. You're more of a show.
I'm old school.
You're old school. You come from musical theater, but you also, when speaking of old school, glancing on your Instagram page, you love old burlesque and old B movies and things like that.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's camp. You know, I love
the camp. Ed Wood, all that stuff.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, you know, I like to laugh. You know, I don't take what we do seriously. You know, I like to do a good job, and, you know, I don't want to let people down with what I do, but I'm not thinking, oh my God, I am it of all it. Yeah, it's a, no, I'm going out there to have a good time, and hopefully they will too.
Well, we're having a good time so far. Let's take a little pause because Nicole's got to tell you about, now it's Nicole's turn to be a whore. We're going to talk about our other sponsor, but it's definitely worth it. Let's check this out, Amber.
I wouldn't say I'm being a whore because I genuinely believe in the product.
And like, you have the product.
I believe in the product. I get to try out the product, and then I get to review the product. And the product is Renegade Kush and Renegade CBD. Now, I actually smoked a little Renegade Kush today because I'm feeling a little in pain in my muscles. And it just, even if it doesn't completely relax you, it'll relax you enough that you won't be thinking about it. The CBD is very mellow and very calming, and I really enjoy it. And I will be getting to try that white chocolate soon, very soon.
We keep hearing that. If you go to renegadekush.com or renegadecbd.com, they have bath bomb. They have confectionists working on candy, including white chocolate, and all sorts of CBD and Kush needs. Now, you're in Vermont, Amber, and from what... actually, from listening to your song about Vermont, I learned that you can grow marijuana in Vermont.
Yes, you can, up to two plants. You know, we should have been the first friggin' state to come out with legalized marijuana. And that's one thing that I am upset with Howard Dean, okay? Well, that's not the one thing. There's many things I'm upset with Howard Dean. Howard Dean was a much better presidential candidate than he was a governor. Yeah, let me say that. We should have been the first ones out there. Being a small state, we could have tried things out. We could have pioneered the legalization of marijuana, but no, he couldn't do that. And so that pisses me off that I still can't go to a dispensary and buy pot products. It's going to start in the summer sometime, they say, but I'm not sure of that. But did you say bag bomb? Did I hear you say bag
bath bomb? Bath bombs.
Oh, bath
bombs. Bath bombs that make your skin just luxurious.
Okay, because we do have bag bomb here in Vermont.
I'm sure you do, but yes, I'm sorry that I wasn't enunciating. Clearly, I had a little Renegade Kush earlier, but it's bath bombs. They have Renegade CBD bath bombs. Here in California, you can't go two blocks without a dispensary. But why go there? Go to Renegade CBD, Renegade Kush. Anyway,
I've been to dispensaries in Denver and in Provincetown and other places in Massachusetts, and I just love them. I think they're so cool.
Yeah. Well,
your CBD... do you know if they're effective with tinnitus or tinnitus in the ears?
I don't know. I will ask.
Some are, and I have conflicting reports, and I just want to know.
I don't know. I'll ask.
Yeah, we'll ask. Believe me, it's possible. You know, marijuana might cure anything, everything. Who knows?
Or make you forget about what you got.
That's what I was saying. You smoke enough of it, you don't care anymore.
Yeah. I can't hear and I don't care. It's ringing in my ears, but it's kind of nice.
La, la, la.
So you really built a following in Vermont. You at the House LeMay became very, very popular.
Well, you know, it's just being out there and being consistent, because we've seen a lot of drag queens throughout the years and they just say, oh, this is fun. And then they lose interest or they move away or whatever. But, you know, we're still here. And we started something almost 30 years ago. But the Winter is a Drag Ball is our big event of the year. And that's a benefit for all the AIDS organizations of the state, whether it be Vermont Cares, Vermont People with AIDS Coalition. And I've been the producer of that for 20 years now. This May, we're having our 27th one. It used to be the Winter is a Drag Ball, but we had to postpone it this year. So it's Winter Was a Drag Ball on May 14th. And it's just a fabulous event. We have it at the Higher Ground Nightclub, which is one of the biggest nightclubs between Boston and Montreal. There's two rooms. One holds, the ballroom holds 700 people. The lounge holds 300 people. And we're the only event of the year where you can buy one ticket and go to both rooms. And from 8 o'clock on, there's entertainment and dancing in both rooms. And we raise a lot of money. And some years I have up to 100 performers going on both stages.
That's awesome.
It's just a really like a remarkable event. Last year we had to do it virtually, that's what we had to do. And so, because 2 years ago, it was one of the last events in town before everything closed down. So we're back at it in May. And it's going to be bonkers. It's just, you know, there's going to be over 1,000 people there. And that's a lot for Burlington, Vermont. And you know what? I'd say maybe 35% are straight. It's just a big, great party that people feel very comfortable going in. We have, there's a theme this year. It's the good, the bad, the fabulous. And so there's going to be great costumes. People come dressed to the nines or, we have a costume parade at midnight. That's just crazy. And
do you have your outfit picked out this year?
Well, as a hostess, I just have several that I just walk on stage and you know, it's not about me. You know, it's about raising money and giving other people an opportunity to perform. And that's what I've always believed in. That you know, people in my past gave me the opportunity to perform and to be in the spotlight. So I always try to give other people that opportunity as well. Yeah,
that's great. And you've raised a lot of money for a lot of charities. You've been honored for a lot of your charity work.
You know, it is, you know, and it's not just the GLBT, whatever charities. We raise a lot of money and awareness for a lot of organizations here in Burlington, Vermont. Every year at the Vermont City Marathon, which is one of the most beautiful marathons in the country. Check it out. We are down there on the corner of Cherry and Church Street directing traffic, because at one time in the morning, they're coming up Church Street. And at the same time, after those people get there, the slow people are still coming up. The fast people are going down. And so we're in the middle of the street, keeping them separated and directing them. You know, we're not just there standing pretty. You know, we actually work, and people love that. We have people stop and take pictures of us, and it's just a great day. We've raised money with the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the Rotary Clubs. One of my favorite things was one time we were asked to do be a part of a fundraiser for the Edmonds Middle School Drama Club. And when we got on stage, we referred to them as future drag queens of America. And there was a lot of dads in the audience going, yeah. But we are, you know, they just accept us as people. You know, we're just part of the community. And that's really special here in Burlington.
As you should, as everybody should, you know. But well, I was gonna make that point, and you made it for me that you've done such charity work, not just for LGBT causes and AIDS causes, but for middle schools, for just, you know, other charities. You're just a giving person.
Well, we're part of the community. You know, we're not just part of the gay community. We're part of the entire community. And there's just something, like I said earlier, there's something special about Burlington that allows us to do that.
And also, I was speaking of up and down, I saw a clip on YouTube of you rappelling down a building and dancing in the middle. What was that?
That was a fundraiser for the Flynn Theater of Performing Arts. And you raise money and you rappel down a 9-floor building. And I did it. You know, my good friend John Kalaki was the executive director of the Flynn. He said, "Would you do it?" I said, "Okay." You know, there's part of me going, "Sure, I'll show my ass." And then I'm up there going, "Oh." But yeah,
scary. Like, I'd be a little scared of a 9-floor recline, man.
Yeah, yeah, it was totally safe.
Yeah, I think showing your ass is the least of your worries on
that. Oh, I had panties on, and but I think I came in third or fourth of raising money for that event. And what I did every time a business would give me money, I looked like a race car driver. I had one of their logos on my jacket, and but yeah, I did that.
You are a whore.
Did I deny it?
You never have. Now, no. You were going down, and you were like a quarter of the way down, and you and the person rappelling next to you started spontaneously dancing.
Well, that was my good friend, Jen Adams. We've done some theater shows before. We said, "Okay, what should we do? You know, let's put on a show." And so we up there, 5, 6, 7, 8. Boom, ba, da, 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 da. Yeah, we did.
Literally, they're on the side of a building, Batman style. Yes. And just, they start going like this back and forth. Yeah, I'll have to show it to Nicole. It's interesting.
Why not? Why
sounds
not?
Awesome.
But so what happened was, I mean, obviously with the pandemic, no more shows.
You know, that was it. You know, we'd made appearances. My drag sister Marguerite had a stroke. Actually, it was 3 years ago this month. And so that kind of slowed us down a little bit in performing, because we used to do several shows a year. We'd always have, most years we'd have our Leaf Peepin' Cider Sippin' Review in the fall and our Sap Tappin' Mud Flappin' Review in the spring. And then usually a Christmas show and, you know, something else, a couple of other shows during out the year. But after Marguerite had her stroke, she really couldn't perform with us. So we mainly, Lucy Bell and I, would make public appearances. You know, we'd go to parties or we'd go to fundraising events and do those. But then, you know, the pandemic hit and I go, I'm here by myself. I'm bored. And that's when I started doing the Amber Chat, just talking to my computer. And that's when we developed Amber Live. And it's amazing what we've done in the past 100-some episodes, the people we've talked to. I've talked to people from all over the world. I've had guests from Australia, London, all over the United States, South America. And, you know, it was easy, you know, because people go, "Yeah, I got nothing to do."
it was actually a boon for our show too when it first hit, because, you know, even though we were doing the show in the studio, but it was like, okay, well, now we can get some people that they got nothing to do. They might as well. So we got some names that we couldn't get, some people that all over the world from Germany and other places. But how did you meet your co-host Russell?
Well,
you guys
Russell,
have such chemistry.
Russell used to live here in Burlington. He was a graduate student in, I think, microbiology or some sort of science. And he was involved in a local theater group. And they were producing a show, and he and I hadn't met, but we had mutual friends, and they were looking for a handsome young gay actor.
Oh, there you go.
That's my story.
Aren't you always looking for that, Amber?
And they knocked on my door almost 30 years ago and said, hey, we're doing this show. Would you like to be in it? And I said, sure. And so Russell and I met that way, and we just became good friends. And he became part of my other circle of friends. And we've just been together as friends for almost 30 years. We go to Provincetown every year for a week, our cadre of friends. We've mm-hmm. been to New Orleans. We've been to other places. We travel a lot together. It's a
well, you just visited him, right, in New York?
Yes, this past weekend. Oh my gosh, it was so cool. He had such a great weekend planned out. We had lunch with Charles Bush. Charles Bush showed us his apartment, and we had lunch with him. Then we went to see The Drag Seed, which is written and by David Serda, who was a guest on my show. Mm-hmm. And he's from Chicago, and their Helena Hambasket theater group did this show, The Drag Seed, in Chicago for several months. And then they were invited to bring it to New York. So I said, oh, I'm going to go down and see that. And so that was great to see him. Then we went and saw, I got to meet Squiggs, who's one of the, he's been on my show before. He's a caricature artist of Broadway. He's one of the two main ones, and just a great guy. Brad Forenza, who we met online, and he hooked us up with all of our soprano connections. We had several interviews with soprano people. It was just, you know, it was just really nice meeting up with those people. And it was my first trip really on a plane and going to a big city like that. You know, I mean, since the pandemic, you know, that's, and so, you know, that was a little leery, but you know, you got to do
you've been,
it.
You've been to New York before, right?
I've been to New York before. Yeah.
I'm going to try to go to New York later this year. But my friend has been trying to drag me there forever. This might be the year I finally do it. Where should I go if I go to New York?
Go see a show, you know, just walk around, Times Square. You know, I'm a tourist. I'm going,
I'll take lots of selfies.
Try to stay out of the dark alleys at night. Other than that, yeah, I think you're.
Oh, I was told that actually there aren't that many alleys in New York, that they kind of film in the same alleys to make it look like there are more than there are, which is a weird fact, I was told.
Yeah. Well, because people always say, you know, Times Square, it's all Disney and all this. Where's the scummy New York? Trust me, you walk a couple blocks, the scummy New York's still there.
Maybe so they weren't in scummy New York, but they said that there weren't a lot of alleys and they were surprised.
Well, it used to be that people were like, stay out of Harlem, stay out of Brooklyn, but now those are like yuppie communities.
Gentrified, yeah.
Yeah. But Amber, what I was going to say, now, are you a big Sopranos fan yourself?
I'd never watched one episode.
Oh, no.
You've had so many Sopranos actors on your shows.
Yes.
The Stephen Van Zandt's wife.
Maureen. God, she was fascinating. And plus her apartment. She was sitting with it, you know, in front of all these gilded frames. You know, you knew she was in Greenwich Village. You know, just, she was great.
Yeah. If people don't know, Steve Van Zandt was the guitar player for Bruce Springsteen's band, and he played Silvio in The Sopranos, and that's his real life wife played his wife on the show.
What a nice person, and she told some fun stories about how she met him and didn't really connect at the beginning, but I bet you she slept with a lot of rock and rollers. I'm just saying.
You think? Maureen Van Zandt slept with a lot of rock and rollers before Stevie Van Zandt?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, she had fun. She had fun.
Sure. And by the way, here's my Silvio face. All right, boss. It showed up
Mark,
for a second.
You're so Italian.
Yes, that's my Italian coming out. Yes.
Well, all right. Now it's time for me to ask you a question. Why are you Dark Mark?
I'm the goth comedian. I'm not wearing makeup right now because it's 100 degrees here.
It's quite warm in LA today.
Hollywood, so I would melt. But I do comedy in full makeup. If you have me on your show, I will do the full makeup. I'm the goth comedian. I make people laugh and be depressed at the same time.
You're going to guarantee you make people laugh?
I guarantee
he does. He's pretty funny.
I guarantee it. I made you laugh a few times tonight.
Yes, you have.
Yes, so
we will have you on.
That would be like going to a chef and be like, are you sure you cook food? Because Mark has been a comedian for so long.
Yes. But like I say, when you were talking about going to see drag shows and saying I could do that, here in LA, everybody comes to the shows. And Nicole went to a disaster of a show I did a couple weeks ago, where the other comics were so bad that other people that were invited were like, oh, I could do that.
We don't want to like name any names, but there was a time where I was literally banging my head on the table.
It was bad. Like, it was an awful show.
So how did you two hook up, Nicole and Mark?
Oh, if only we did hook up, but we've been friends for, like you and Russell, and you probably did hook up with Russell, but she said no, but I'll have to check with Russell. But what happened was, Nicole and I, and Nicole, by the way, is my, as I said, this is the ninth anniversary, is my fourth co-host. First, I had Hell's Bell, adult entertainer, so my first co-host. Then I had Josie Cat, who was a punk rock singer, was my second co-host. Then Nicole was my third and now fifth co-host. And then I had a Hannah Bach, who was a heavy metal DJ, was my co-host. And I intentionally had strong, funny women that are not comedians on the show to have a different perspective. How we met, we were at a gospel.
Mutual friend Charlie.
Was Charlie to introduce us?
Yeah, I met you the night that you were, because you opened for them. You were the MC for Many of Odd Nature. And that was the night I met you. I don't know if she actually introduced us personally, but that was the night that I met you.
So I was hosting for our friend's band, Many of Odd Nature, Charlie, and I think I hit on Nicole, or Nicole came up to me and said hi, and I started hitting on her, and she gave me her card, and then said...
The card, you got to tell them about the card. The card looked like a Pokemon card. I was being sponsored by this brand called Meat Meme at the time, and they like take your data. And like it was like hit points and attack points and defense points, but it was really your followers. And then they had a little barcode and a little summary of who you were on the back, like you were a fighting card.
Right. And so I hit on her as I do mercilessly. And she said, I like you. I'll never go out with you, but we can hang out. So we've been friends ever since. Basically, I said, do you want to go out with me? She said, no.
What I said was, you're too much man for me.
Right.
Because he's so big and masculine.
Let me write that down.
And it's funny
you're
that,
too much man for me. Okay.
Yes, I'm too much man for basically most like, women. Period.
Petite men. That's a fact. I date petite men for sure.
She likes like the hipster, hairy lollipop kind of guys. But
it all started with Bowie.
Amber, let me ask you. Because
you don't want me to ask you any more questions, do you?
No, you can ask all sorts of questions, but I still have a few more questions to ask you. And it's almost been an hour already. Time flies when you have fun. Because we have a lot of people, and this didn't just happen with Nicole. This happened with Hannah, and this happened when Josie was my co-host. A lot of people think we are actually sleeping together because we have such a fun chemistry on the air. Do people think that about you and Russell?
Only if they have a poor sense of imagination.
Well, I'm not talking about people that know both of you. I'm talking about the fan.
I don't know.
Because I know you're very interactive with your fans, and I know they email you stuff.
That's never been mentioned. I don't know. That'd be interesting. We should do a survey, a quiz.
So there's no sexual tension between you and Russell?
No.
I don't know. I thought I felt something, but I don't know. But I think the biggest coup you have, and you've had a lot of guests, and you can, you feel free, but I've got a few more questions. But I think your biggest coup, and when I say coup, nobody could get this person on the show. Not 60 Minutes, not, Carol Baskin of Tiger. How did you get Carol Baskin? Because she wasn't even interviewed for Tiger King 2. She refused that.
Well, back at the early on, we contacted her, like, you know, right in the middle of the big Tiger King thing. And she wasn't accepting anyone because she had been spoofed by someone. Someone called her up and they weren't legitimate interviewers. They're just trying to, catch her on things. But we waited a year and Russell just contacted her and she said, sure, look on my calendar, find a time when we can talk. And so one Saturday afternoon, I spent like an hour and a half talking to her.
It's a good interview, except I don't know if you caught this or anybody's mentioned this. You said that she was from Lion King, not Tiger.
You caught that, huh?
I'm sure I'm not the only one, but you're like, well, you know Carol Baskin from Lion King. I'm like, no, we don't. But it's the cutest thing because both you and her are wearing leopard print shirts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, not tiger print shirts, leopard print.
But the thing is, you know,
easier to find a leopard print shirt than a tiger print shirt. There's not a lot of tiger print shirts.
No. But she liked it. She liked the cat print. You know, that's it. You know, I don't do a lot of prep work for my shows because I don't want to go in, you know, knowing too much because then I might miss what they're saying. You know, I then I'm afraid I'm going to say, oh, you do this. Is that right? They'll go, yeah. I'd rather them say, tell me about this and let them talk and listen to it so I can go on from their conversation.
Mark does a lot of research and then we kind of let the guests take it from there. Like Mark will say, I saw this. Can you tell me about your experience with that? And then we listen to your experience.
Well, I try to make it conversational and I think we've done that.
Definitely. Yes.
But that's what Larry King, oddly enough, did. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Nicole. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say Mark prides himself in making sure he's aware of who the guest is before they come on the show. Like he delves deep.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. But Larry King used to say the same thing. He said he never would do any research on the guest, but he obviously did because there were questions, specific questions that he asked. So obviously somebody did some research.
Maybe he did research.
I don't want to be thinking of what's my next question while someone's talking. I want to be listening to what they're saying so I can say, hey, you just said what did you just say? And I think I did that with Carol Baskin. I think I said, wait.
She's all full of surprises. There's no question about that.
I was going to say, she seems like someone that would be very interesting to interview.
You know, but afterwards, I believed her. She's either the most psychotic psychopath that has ever lived, or she's telling the truth.
Well, that's what you were saying. You were like, she's either telling the truth or she's a complete sociopath.
I had no reason not to believe her.
The whole thing with Tiger King, what made it so fascinating is that, and I actually watched the first episode of Joe versus Carol because it's free and I like Kate McKinnon and John Cameron Mitchell. They're great, but they're both very broken people. Ooh. And I think that has a lot to do with how they really probably both connect better with animals and people, both of them.
Well, she told in my interview how, you know, her childhood was very tragic, but very sad. You know, it's you mentioned John Cameron Mitchell. He was in Burlington, Vermont, just like 3 weeks ago. Saw his show. Oh my gosh, it was so cool. He did several songs from Hedwig and some of his other songs. And he had a 3-piece band that sounded like an orchestra and a side singer that was just dynamite. 2 hours, never left the stage. It was really a good show.
He's amazing. Hedwig, one of my favorite movies, and just an amazing performer. Did you ever
see it on stage?
I never did. I should have.
I really want to see it on stage.
I saw it in New York. It wasn't him. It was I forget who took over after him, but it was in this theater, in this old hotel where the Titanic survivors came back to.
Wow.
And you walk into that building and you feel it. You know, we talked earlier about feeling places.
Mm-hmm.
You go into that building and you feel heavy. Yeah, you feel things in that building.
Have you ever had a supernatural experience?
You know, I've sensed things. I don't know if I've actually had them, but I've sensed, you know, there's something weird here. I worked in a bar and it was supposed to be haunted and I didn't sense that many things, but one night I was downstairs sorting the bottles and I felt a presence. And I just said, okay, just let me do my job and I'm out of here. Okay.
Shivers down your spine.
And I left. You know, I just, but no, I've sensed things, but I've never really seen things, I don't think.
Okay. Well, who knows? I mean, you know, you're still young. We'll see what happens. Now, on your Wikipedia page, it says that you were named the biggest hair. Like 3 years in a row, but your hair's not that big.
No, that was my dear cousin Lucy Bell, who was. Lucy Bell is our cousin from She's our foreign exchange student from Mississippi, who moved to Beaver Pond, and yes, she has won biggest hair in Provincetown for several years. Yes.
Wow.
Well, that makes sense because I was going to say I've never seen you with like huge hair.
No, she's the one who also does Bitchin' in the Kitchen on my on Amber Live. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
And we're almost out of time. We didn't even get to the point where Hal Sparks showed you his song. But
another thing. That was such a great show. I had John Fetterman, who's the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, this big, hulking, ball-headed guy with tattoos. He's the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania. And he gets on there and talks about his liberal agenda. It's so cool. His wife comes on and talks about all the good work she does, creating this food shelf amongst people. She's a spitfire herself. And he's now running for Senate in Pennsylvania. And
wins.
And then happened to be Hal Sparks was the co-guest or the other guest on that show. Mm-hmm. And I got Hal, after talking with Hal, who was on Queer as Folk, and what was it?
He was on Talk Soup. He was great stand-up comedian. I thought that was back in the day.
Oh, yeah, and he's still very active on social media. And but he and Mrs. Fetterman got into this great conversation about their love of Pittsburgh. And it was just one of the spontaneous conversations that happened. And that was a great, Hal Sparks, that was a great show.
Is there anything you could dish from any of the celebrities? Anything that didn't make it on the air? Anything that you...
No, because what you saw is, you know, what we did is what you saw. Yeah, yeah. There was no...
Was there anything that surprised you that somebody said that... blew your mind?
Oh, I'm sure. But you know, I don't know what it is, but once something's done, it's done. And right. You know, someone said, oh, who was on your show last week? I go, I don't know. I know it was a good one though. You should watch it.
And there's just a couple more questions we gotta get out of here, but
yeah.
Sweaty Balls. You have a song on YouTube, Sweaty Balls. You seem to like Sweaty Balls.
I wrote that song maybe 10, 12 years ago. And
what was the inspiration? What was the inspiration for Sweaty Balls?
Well, just sweaty balls. We all know about sweaty balls. You know, it's a common human experience. And I just wrote this song like 10 or 12 years ago, and I did it once in a show. I half-heartedly played it on a ukulele, but it wasn't that good. And then about a year ago, I revived.
You're freezing, Amber.
Live cohorts, Jack Quint. And I said, can you come up with some music for this? And he goes, sure. And he wrote it, and we did. And so we had that video of Sweaty Balls.
That's
do you fun. Like Sweaty Balls? Is that because I'm not, you know, I know women like balls, but I've never had somebody say, you know what, I really like them when they're sweaty.
I don't like sweaty anything.
Right.
Well, you're not a gay person.
And also, you say when they get sweaty, they get bigger. Is that right?
No, they droop.
And they're easier to see.
Scientifically speaking, they pull away from the body to cool off. It's a real thing.
Right. Yeah. But I don't think they expand, though. It's my experience. My balls may be different than everybody else's, but they just sort of just kind of droop and sweat.
Way back and forth.
Okay. Well, I guess there's something visual. Now, and that's our last question. We ask this for everybody. You don't have to answer, but I'm curious. What is your fetish?
My fetish?
Your fetish. What is something you like in a man? What do you like?
Dark hair, dark eyes, mustache. That pretty much seals it for me.
So except for my blue eyes, I'm ideal for you.
I can compromise.
I can't think of any way to end better than that. So that's the most action I've gotten in about 6 months. Anyway.
Come to Vermont. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'd love this.
Amber, plug everything that you have going so everybody knows how to get a hold of you.
You know, amberlive.tv. Go there. You can go on, hook on to my YouTube page and find out more about what's happening here in Burlington, Vermont and the Hot Damn Trailer Park. So come on in.
Amber, thank you so much for being on. Nicole, tell people how to get a hold of you and once again, how to get your book.
I'm Nicole Six Books on Instagram and Nicole H Six on Facebook. And you can find my book at lulu.com under Nicole Six.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Oh, that was so much fun.